Gott ist die Liebe, lässt mich erlesen. Gott ist die Liebe, er liebt auch mich. Drum sag ich's noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe, Gott ist die Liebe, er liebt auch mich. Ich lag in Banden der schnellen Sünde, ich lag in Banden und konnt nicht los. Drum sag ich's noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe, Gott ist die Liebe, er liebt auch mich. Jesus, mein Heiland, gab sich zum Opfer. Jesus, mein Heiland, bis meine Schuld. Drum sag ich's noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe, Gott ist die Liebe, er liebt auch mich. O süße Liebe, du Brunnen des Heiles, o süße Liebe, der Seelentrost. Drum sag ich's noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe, Gott ist die Liebe, er liebt auch mich. Dich will ich preisen, du ewige Liebe, dich will ich loben, solang ich bin. Drum sag ich's noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe, Gott ist die Liebe, er liebt auch mich.
Gott ist die Liebe. God is love truly. That's for sure. I want to report something that Paul, how many of you know who Paul Ryan is? Paul Ryan? He comes from somewhere down south. He said there's something interesting going on. All the motorcycle accidents are reported as coronavirus deaths. When they're teenagers, how come? And he also said, you have to look into something very interesting. The coronavirus spikes have gone up immensely because they haven't reporting any deaths since. Anyways, not they didn't count the deaths for the last 3 months. Now all of a sudden, they count them and there's your spike. Go figure. So they're going to have some fun straightening that stuff out. I believe God has anointed Trump to take out the demonic realm that is trying to bring in a new world order. Will he succeed? Yes, he will. Because when God starts something, he doesn't go halfway. So rest your case in that. He finishes what he starts. So if your mother started praying for you years ago, relax, you're going to heaven. How do you like that? So pray for your kids. The Bible teaches us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And who else? Your house. Because we're all very selfish. We pray for our own. Hallelujah. Before anybody else comes to our minds, we pray for our kids. We pray for our husbands, for our wives sometimes, but for sure for our kids. So we're going to heaven if you pray for them. And God wants us to understand these things. He's a God of love. I am going to try and encourage you because you've been beaten down by Satan throughout the week. So I want to give you grace. Grace is something that a lot of people don't seem to understand or don't want, or they figure it's not hard enough on the flesh. We got enough problems with our flesh. We need all the grace we can get. We need all the unmerited favor that God gives us, because we've been lost, dead in trespasses and sin, and it's about time we start to look on the grace of God. But today I want to teach on an interesting subject that I've been getting close to for the last few weeks. It's about those people who go into religion. They find the Lord, and then they go back, instead of going on with God, getting into the power of the Holy Spirit, getting into preaching the gospel, they draw in on themselves. They have formed little holy huddles, trying to keep themselves from the world, thus making rules, laws, regulations. You can see by the way they dress. You can see by the way they operate. And after a while, they become proud and look down upon them that don't do like they do. And it's interesting that the Apostle Paul had the same problem. This is why I always say, when I bring you a message, when I bring you a scripture, don't take it for granted. Get into the Word of God yourself. I like to preach it to you to make you jealous, to make you aware, but you need to settle it in your own heart. Because if I teach you something, somebody else can come and unteach you. I will give you an interesting example. I used to drive truck with this guy, and of course, the first subject we talked about was assurance of salvation. He didn't believe in it. He said, yeah, you can still fall away even though you're born into the family of God. And I thought I had him pretty good convinced by the time the trip was over. It was a 14-day trip from California, Toronto, and back here. I thought I had him convinced. So we went home for the weekend. And I said, study it over the weekend. Let it come get into your spirit. And guess what he did? He came back. He said, I've studied it and I'm convinced that I will not have assurance of salvation. I said, did you study it or did somebody else teach you? Well, somebody else taught me. I said, that's the problem. If I teach you, somebody else can come and unteach you. You need teachings from God. You need the revelation from the Holy Spirit. This is why I'll always pound this into you. Get to know this Jesus. Get the revelation yourself. And you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We ask you, Lord, that you will open our hearts to the truth of Scripture. Help us to understand and see so that we have the revelation, so that you can bless us with assurance. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul would be traveling about teaching the principles of God, the way of salvation. And he would have people following him around, teaching them otherwise. Simple little messages that would put doubt into people's hearts and minds. So he came down hard on those who were swayed with every wind of doctrine that came along. So in Galatians chapter 1, in chapter 3 in verse 1, and some of these scriptures I will be reading out of the New Living Testament because they bring it down to our way of understanding. So it tells us, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What does the word bewitched? You were taken over. You were taught by some devil. Who has bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently been set forth, crucified amongst you. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So they were coming along and preaching the law. And we all know that the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, wrote, if any man comes with another gospel, let him be accursed. And anybody who comes and preaches the law and say that it tells us this is the way into the kingdom, that's another gospel. That is not the true gospel. The only way into the kingdom is through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, are you so foolish? Have you begun in the spirit? First you believe it. Now you have to go back and perfect yourself by the flesh. I know quite a few people who try to do that. But I want to bring you one little revelation. Let it sink in your heart. You'll never become more pure as the blood of Jesus can make you. There is no amount of your effort that you put in will make you more holy than what the blood of Jesus did for you. So when you accept Jesus as your Savior, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you become pure and holy in the sight of God. Oh, you may not feel like that. Don't worry about your feelings. We go by what the Word of God says, not by what we feel. If I would go by my feelings, I don't know where I would be right now. I got this rule book, this law book, this very interesting book that was brought forth by the Holy Spirit that teaches and guides. You go by that one, and you will never be confused if you seek the Lord to show you the revelations. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. This is the Apostle Paul's biggest. He tries to keep us free in Christ. So he's warning us again and again not to allow other people take us into bondage. Study scripture for yourself. Have a relationship with God. Be your own man. Yes, we need prophets and teachers and apostles. But if they don't line up with the word of God, cast them aside. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of man. We grew up in traditions of men. And when we put them to the light of the gospel, to the light of the Bible, we know they're only man-made and are useless as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. After the rudiments of world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are what? You are complete in him. Hallelujah. You're complete in him. You don't have to be attached to all of those religious ideologies. You're complete in him. All you have to do is turn to this Jesus, become part of his kingdom, become part of him. And all of a sudden, the freedom that you're going to start to see will be overpowering, almost to the point of, is this really true? That's the problem with many people. They don't quite believe what Scripture teaches. They can't see the freedom that God gives us. It says that after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ, for in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. That's freedom. That is complete freedom. You owe no man anything. You can be your own man. When you talk to people about church services, for some reason they want to be stepped on. They want to be given a sharp message. They want to be told how to behave. They want to be told how to do this and this. Hey, listen to me here. Satan is down on us throughout the week. It's about time on Sunday we start lifting one another up and telling each other that Jesus loves us. that in him we are the fullness of God. We have become the perfection that he wants us to be through what Jesus did on the cross. We do not have to try and do all these things that we have been taught in our religious upbringings. They're going to pass away, and eventually you will not even remember them. You are complete in him. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 13. And you, he says, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him. We were dead. We were lost in trespasses and sin. We were of the family of Satan. We were separated from God. We had no chains. But all of a sudden, the Bible teaches you were dead in sin and uncircumcision of the flesh. Has he quickened together with him? He has made us alive, having forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that awesome? Having forgiven you all trespasses, the ones you did, the ones you're doing, and the ones you're gonna do. I love this. Jesus is my champion. I love listening to him telling me how good I am through what he did on the cross for me. Isn't that awesome? Jesus bragging about how good you are. When you study the Bible, that's what he's doing. He's telling you how good you are. The Bible teaches us this. Study to show yourself that you're approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There's one thing that condemned us. That was the law. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. You had to keep those things perfectly. If you failed in one, you failed in all. Oh, we might be good at thou shalt not steal. I quit stealing since I've been a Christian. Anyways, tangibly stealing. I don't know if I stole other stuff, but you know, you try to keep yourself from those. Even if you're good at it, there's times when you fail. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. You want to do that, but there's times your actions prove that you don't quite do it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I could tell you a few good ones on that. You do not love your neighbor as yourself, especially when there's a money deal on the go. So you go on and on in these things. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's such and such, this and that. Look at ourselves. We're failures. But in Christ Jesus, the Bible said, the ordinance is the law that condemned us. He took it out of the way and he nailed it to his cross. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God is perfection, holiness, purity. And by his nailing these things to the cross and him dying for us, he implanted his righteousness in us, and he took our wrongdoings. Now God looks on us as perfect, pure, and holy. I love to hear that. During the week, the devil tells me, oh, you're a failure here. You're a failure there. Look at your thought here. And on Sunday, when I start studying the Word of God, I do it all through the week, because a man of my character cannot afford not to read the Bible. I have to tell myself on a continuous basis, I'm a good guy, made so by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? Give the Lord a hand. He took those ordinances, he took those laws, and he nailed them to the cross. Hallelujah. And that's what religious people need to understand. Instead of falling back into trying to keep themselves, you can see it by the way they dress. You can see it by the way they operate. It's almost pathetic. If I wouldn't know how they think in their hearts and minds, I don't know what I would do, because I can understand their upbringing. I can understand their set of mind. But I got a message for them. Those of you who are listening through the internet, there's some already within the sound of my voice who are driving horse and buggy, thinking you're doing God a favor. I know you got a radio hidden somewhere in your bedroom, and you're listening to this message. A horse and buggy ain't gonna get you to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. So you need to listen. By his cross, he made us pure, he made us holy, he made us perfect. Colossians chapter 2, it gets better than that even. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in speck of holy days, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. You'll get the message. He's telling us here, don't let anybody make any laws for you. Let's open our hearts. Every day is a day to worship God. We don't need all these rules, laws, and regulations. Yes, I know you have to have some law when there's a church setting, but if you start dictating to people what they should start to wear and how they should operate and what car to drive, then you are going over the line. You're putting people into bondage that God has told you to set free. I want to set them free. Jesus is the one that took my penalty, and hallelujah, I am free in him. And then in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 18, listen. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. I guess in those days they were worshiping angels, and they're still doing that now. I listened to a few people on the internet who were interviewed. They're called the Mormon Church. They were being interviewed, and they were talking about how they were doing things for God. And I was thinking, yes, 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 you're doing this, you're doing that. But get to the root of your religion. It was started by an angel talking to a person. An angel, was it an angel? It was an angel of light impersonating God. And guess where they are today? Totally out of the will of God. Not depending on the blood of Jesus for their salvation, but in depending in their own righteousness, in their own holiness, which is going to make the nose of God curl up as he tries to plug his nose from the stench. This is how those people are to him. Lost, dead in trespasses and sin, because they reject what he has to offer, intruding into the things that he has not seen, vainly puffed off by his fleshy mind. And all those religions, for those of us who grew up in religions organizations, this is exactly how it is. They're puffed up, they think highly of themselves, especially the leaders. They're proud of what they do. They cannot speak enough of their accomplishments in their pious religion. Oh, what a farce. How incredible it must sound to God, who give us the instruction. They're right here, and they see past them. I always say this. If people would start using the Word of God like they start using other instruction books, it would be okay. But here's how they use the instruction book of God. If they would put together a combine, they would have the wheels where the cab is, and where the cab is, they would put the wheels. This is exactly how they study this instruction book. Totally upside down and sideways. They have absolutely no point of how to deal with these things because of their pride. So God wants us to understand this. We need to follow this rule book, and there's no room for deviation. There's no way we can step aside in any way. It's the straight and narrow. We used to think the straight and narrow is walk with our head down, our eyes half closed, and walk a pious life. That was the straight and narrow. No, the straight and narrow is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that gate is very narrow. To fit into there, you have to strip everything from yourself, everything that would be a backset. It's only the blood, and then only can you fit through that door. Hallelujah. You have died with Christ in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. We are not in subject to those powers. He has set us free from the spiritual powers. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Again, he gives us an idea. And we know people are all religious organizations are into this don't taste, don't touch, don't handle, don't wear, don't be like this, don't do this. God wants to set us free. Yes, I believe in modest dress, but the way some people dress, I don't know which planet they come from. So God wants us to be at peace. Hallelujah. Now listen to this one. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 22. Such rules, this is the Living Bible, such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. I love the way the Living Bible puts it. They require strong devotion, pious self-denial, severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. What do monks do? They shut themselves off in some monastery, trying to keep themselves from the evil desires of the flesh. You read stories about that all the time. So they set themselves to prayer 24 hours a day, but the horror stories that you hear from monasteries blow your mind. How about religious organizations? The way they dress, the way they operate, the way they keep each other. We're going to keep ourselves from the world. We're not going to watch this. We're not going to do this. We're not going to go there. The Bible teaches us they require strong bodily discipline, but have absolutely no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Do you agree with me? That's the way it works. It cannot do anything. I remember one guy writing me a letter. I think it was from somewhere down south. It was talking about the people that move in and the women wearing those long dresses and how holy and pure they looked. And I told him, I'll be honest with you. I'll be very straightforward with you. I grew up in a religious system where they had dresses down to the floor, but those dresses didn't stop my imaginations. I was even better than they could be if they would dress seductively. I was even better with that in my mind. So don't tell me that stops a person from having evil thoughts. You can't stop it, what Satan puts there, unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit. These things cannot help you in any way or form when it comes to conquering a person's evil desires. What conquers a person's evil desires? A relationship with Jesus, knowing that God loves you. The more you know he loves you, the more you are attracted to his love. The more you spend time with him, the more those evil desires take second place in you. And over the years, as God grows you, as God blesses you, as God teaches you, these evil desires become less and less important. This is what God is trying to say. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And one day we'll stand pure, holy, and unashamed in his sight because of what the blood of Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. So let us open our hearts to these things. The main thing is we need the cross of Calvary. And without the cross, we're lost. We are not going to see God's face. But through his precious blood, through his sacrifice, we were made pure and holy in the sight of God. And the Bible teaches us that, and that's all the confirmation I need. Hallelujah. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Teach me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption's song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firm. He take my stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Jesus, hold my hand.